Will in your Bibles tonight to Mark. Well, I tell you what, you're missing a blessing if you're not coming on Wednesday night. We're going through this verse by verse, and Brother Perry is really enlightening us with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can understand Mark. I tell you, it's going to be a great book. Come and listen. Turn, if you will, to chapter 7, verse 31. Chapter 7 of Mark 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." I tell you, if you look at that last part of that scripture, we find that in many places he told them not to tell, and they told, and the crowds followed him. And then they said, "He has done all things well." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that when you do something in our life, you do all things well. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we talk about your word here in Mark, that you will speak to our hearts. And Lord, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Okay, the condition of the man is found in verse 32. The Bible says, they brought this man who is deaf. He could not hear. That word deaf means dull, an indication that this man probably at one time had injured himself and it made him impossible to hear. Kind of like me. At one time I could hear, but several of guns have gone off since then, and I can't hear nothing but bells. And it's getting pretty bad. But this man now was not able to hear, and possibly he could have heard earlier. Once he could hear the beauties of the singing, the song. I just think, boy, when I hear the song sung, how beautiful heaven must be when the angels are singing and the bells are ringing. Man, I tell you, it's going to be an awesome sight to be able to hear the choirs in heaven, the angels singing. I don't think it'll get any better than that, man, I tell you. He spoke with difficulty. So he had two problems. One, he couldn't hear, and then he spoke with difficulty. He probably stuttered when he talked. This man had some problems in his life, a handicap in his life. And his friends brought him to Jesus. Now this story here reminds me not only that we need things physically, but we need things spiritually. And the Bible also reminds me that Jesus loved those that was physically handicapped. In the ministry of Jesus, you always see that he had time to heal those with ailments, and he had time to heal those with physical handicaps, and also he had time for those with the spiritual handicaps. He was always had time for the blind, the lame, and the deaf. Isn't that wonderful today that Jesus Christ still has time for you and I when we call upon him? Now, this points me to those that are usually physically handicapped, and today we tend to turn away from them. but not our Lord and Savior. He was always there. You see, Jesus can do only in the what people will allow him in their life to do. You see, if you want Jesus to work in your life, you've got to let him be in charge of your life. You've got to come to him in your life. If you want him to heal you in the spiritual realm, then you got to open up spiritually to what Christ wants to do in your life. Now, tonight you may be able to hear, you may be able to see, and you may be able to walk. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you have a spiritual handicap, which is a far more serious handicap than a physical handicap. You see, a spiritual handicap will keep you from entering into the kingdom of life in Christ Jesus. If you're deaf, you cannot hear the word of God. And many that are deaf do not be able to hear. I was thinking the other night, we were sitting at the table, and Hae Kyung was talking and counting numbers in Chinese on our fingers, and I thought, oh, so many times we have people that are in our associational rallies and things like that, and they have a section for the hard of hearing or the deaf, and they have somebody preaching the word to them with a sign. Is it signing? Whatever that is, whatever they're doing it. So that those people can hear the word of God. Now, if you die in a condition without hearing the word of God and a spiritual handicap, then you're lost for all eternity. And it's the same if you can hear and you do not open up your heart to Jesus Christ. I was amazed at the testimonies. You know, God is always seeking those who want to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're wanting to be saved, then God wants you to be saved. You see, it's just that simple. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight the Master is calling. Okay, let's look at we saw the handicapped man. Now the cure for the handicapped man. In verse 33, he took him aside from the multitude. Let me get these glasses on. At night, for some reason or another, everything's blurry. And they're kind of blurry with these glasses, too. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger in his ear, and he spat and touched his tongue. Now, first, Jesus took the man aside from the multitude. I believe this shows the tenderness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The consideration that Jesus Christ had for people is he never embarrasses people. He always seemed like to be sensitive to the needs and the situations of the people. And now notice how Jesus cured the man. He used all kinds of different methods of curing people in his ministry of healing. But Jesus can't be restricted to what today our little system goes. I had somebody tell me one time, if you want to be healed, you know, you've got to do this and this and this. And I said, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, you may not find it in the Bible just like that, but you've got to do this because he talks about anointing with oil and this and this. And I said, you know, I read in my Bible where Jesus spoke and they were healed. And I believe that's the way. We can't put God in a little box and says he's going to do everything just like this. Jesus is the eternal God, and he works according to his will. And when someone asked Jesus Christ to do this, then he did it. You see, he is God, and he can do what he wants to do. And he heals people. And here is Jesus, and here is this man who is hard of hearing and has a speech impediment. Now, If we want to be a blessing to people, we've got to reach out to people. Jesus had a touch on people's lives. I believe Jesus was a man that was connected to people. You see, he went to this man. Now, I presume that he put his finger in his ear. I don't know exactly why he did that, but I assume that this man couldn't hear, so Jesus put his finger in his ear so that he would know that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cure your healing, you see. And he was letting the man know that, you know, by putting his finger in his ear. Now, that's possibly what he was doing. I don't know that. But he was acting out, I believe, what he was getting ready to do. And maybe he was to aid this man's faith. I don't know. But as Jesus did this, it was as if Jesus was saying, I'm going to do something, mister, with your hearing situation. I'm going to do something with your ears. And then he took a finger and touched his tongue. And I believe he was saying, I'm going to do something about that speech impediment you have. Jesus was making connection, I believe. Every person you see in the Bible that he comes in contact with, he has a connection with people in a language. He was talking to this man that so that he could be he could comprehend what he was going to do. And folks, the touch of Jesus. I love that old song, He Touched Me. He touched me. That's exactly what he did to Teddy. That's exactly what he did to me. That's exactly what he did to Brenda. That's exactly what he did to Joanne. He touched them in a way that only Jesus Christ can. You see, he touched the sickness and made it well. He touched the leper and made him clean. He touched the dead and made them alive. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, then you're dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is here. And as you hear it with your ears and through faith, let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and open up your heart to Jesus Christ. You see, God gets the gospel down to where we are. He came to us. The eternal God left the glory of heaven and came down to man. You see, he connected with us. He knows about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sicknesses. He knows what you're feeling. He knows when you're hurt. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows when you have sorrow. And if we want to help people, listen, we have to make connection with them. That's what that 3-year-old girl did with Joanne. She made connection with him. That's what the preacher did when he preached the word. The Holy Spirit made connection with Teddy. And that's what, you say it was a doctor? Or that's what the doctor did. He made a connection with Brenda and led her to the Lord. And I guess Brenda made a connection with Bill. Huh? You was already saved. How'd you do that, brother? Somebody made a connection with you, didn't they? I tell you. You see, but if you want to get to, you got to get down to where people live. So many times we disconnect ourselves, is what I'm trying to say. We disconnect ourselves from the lost. We disconnect ourselves from the hurting. I've had people tell me, I said, well, you want to go visit so-and-so? Well, you know, preacher, I hate to, I don't know if I can get in that situation or not. But we've got to make connection with people. You've got to go where they are. And the Bible does not teach that we're to be isolated. We're not to be isolated. The Bible tells us we are to go. We're to go and get out where people are and make connection with those people. That's the only way they're going to hear the Word of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know somebody that's lost tonight? If you don't know anybody that's lost, you're not making connection. How can we win somebody if we don't know they're lost? You see, you ought to ask people or talk to people and make connection with people and let them know that you are concerned with their life. They don't know that we really care until we show them. But Jesus had a touch of connection here. And then look at verse 34. Then looking upward, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that's to be open. I believe Jesus Christ, it says he looked up. I believe he looked up to heaven. You see, at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes and he prayed. Have you ever thought about not only the touch of connection that we need, but if we're going to win souls for Christ, we have to have a look of communion to the Heavenly Father. In other words, we've got to have a walk with the Father. Jesus Christ spent time in communion with the Father. Why? Because the Father is the source of our power. And if we don't have the power, it's because we're not plugged in to the source. I was trying to toast one morning, and I turned on the toaster and everything, and I put my toast in, and I walked off. I come back about 10 minutes later to look at the toast, and guess what? It wasn't even toasted. And I forgot to look at the back. Rhonda unplugs it. It's her fault. But no, it will never toast if it's not connected to the source of the power. And folks, if we're not connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we're not going to have any power. So do you have a connection tonight with people? And a connection with the Father? The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my strength and help. I believe because Jesus was in communion with the Father is the reason he was able to help people. Everywhere he went, it must be in a daily communion if we're going to be able to help someone along life's way. I never will forget, we was talking about healing a while ago. I was, y'all wasn't, y'all's been pretty quiet. But we went to Africa, and they have, they had some healing, trying to do some healing over there. And I never will forget what they told us in Kenya. If you don't have a daily communion with God, then don't you go out there and try to talk to the witch doctor. Because he has power, and he will whip you up and down. Stay away from the witch doctors. And I got to thinking, you know, it's a shame, but most Christians don't have the communion they need with the Father to speak against the devil and the demons. You know, in the Bible, it tells a story about they were trying to cast out a demon, and he just whooped them. And that's what they were telling us. You have to have a communion with the Father if you're going to do something like that. a touch of connection, a look of communion, and then a sigh of compassion. The Bible says he sighed. That word means Jesus groaned. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief, acquainted with grief. And Jesus was aware of the hurting humanity all around him. Man, I tell you what, it doesn't take you very long if you're really concerned about people to find out that God has blessed you far above most people. There's not a person in this room tonight that really hasn't been blessed far above the majority of people on this earth. I'll tell you that. And Jesus was aware of hurting humanity. He had walked in the midst of the angels in heaven in glory, and he knew what it was to walk on the streets of glory. Now, in a world of woe, a world of sorrow, and a world of heartache, he sighs or groans with compassion. And the secret of real compassion is communion with God. You see, you're not going to have a compassion if you do not have a communion. You're not going to have the touch of connection if you do not have the communion with God. You see, do you have real compassion as a Christian? You see, we're living in a city. Man. That has needs far beyond what most people can really comprehend. It doesn't take long if you go down there and sit in the parking lot of Walmart that you'll see people with real, real needs. Man, I pray, Lord, give us a compassion for people. Give us a desire to love and help people. You see, I believe we ought to just help people and expect nothing from it. Just help people. You can't outgive God. That's the way I think in life. No matter what you got, you can't out or what you give away, you cannot outgive God. So we see Jesus in the healing process. First, he had a touch of connection. Then he had a look of communion. And then he had a compassion for people. And then he had a word of consummation. Jesus said, "Ephphatha," which means be open. And speaking of the word, loose the tongue of the man. Can you imagine when this man spoke, whether he stammered or stuttered or whatever, he began to speak as clearly without any problem, the man's tongue. You and I who have Bibles in our hands and the powerful Word of God in our hands every day, we can share the same gospel that changed lives, and ears will come open and hearts will be cleansed. This man, his ears were opened and his tongue spoke clearly. So we see the condition and the cure. But let's see the confession of the multitude. In verse 36, then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Jesus said to the man, "Now don't you go tell what's happened." And you know what? He went everywhere and told people, you know, I can hear. He was excited. I believe when we have been healed, I believe when we get rid of the old enemy, the devil in our lives, and we accept Jesus Christ, we're like that young man. He just wants to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well." That was an expression of confidence and conviction in their life. Look at what he done. Look at the miracles. Look at the ministry. And we would have to say, yes, Jesus did all things well. I didn't always know what he was doing. At times, I really didn't understand. But as I look back at my life and look back at the way God has brought Rhonda and I, we would tell you both that God has done all things well. If you look at Teddy's life, he probably didn't know that he would end up here and be music director here, but I guarantee you, the night he was saved, he would tell you he has done all things well. Brenda didn't know she was going to marry Bill. Maybe she's already married to Bill, but she didn't know she was going to have all those children. They were going to turn out right here, and they were going to be in First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City, and they were going to be living the life they have now. But they would tell you both that he has done all things well. You see, if Christ has done things well, he will continue to do things well. You ask Joanne at 6 years old, she would tell you, she did tell you, he has done all things well. And let me tell you something, when one day you close your eyes in death and I wake up in the very presence of the Lord, I will say, Lord, you've done all things well in my life. You see, the mysteries in our life that we don't know about or we don't know what God is doing, someday we'll look back and say, Lord, you've done all things well. And the lost person, if you come to Jesus Christ tonight and the Lord forgives you of your sins and you repent of your sins, you will say, he has done all things well. You see, when he cures your addiction, you will say, he has done all things well. You say, preacher, could he make something out of my life and make me a blessing to my family and the Lord? And I tell you, you will say, he has done all things well. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, it is no secret what God can do. If you are lost tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ, come to him. He wants to connect with you. He wants to have communion with you. You see, he has compassion for you. And one day, when he comes to take you home, in life or in death, you will say, Lord, you've done all things well. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you for this time together. Lord, if there's somebody that needs to make a decision tonight, trusting you as Lord and Savior, or just recommitting their life to you, Lord, or joining this church, we don't know. But Lord, we thank you for showing up tonight and blessing our lives, because you have done all things well. In Jesus' name, amen.